Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seifker, blessed to be here with you today on this 4th of July weekend. Thanks so much for joining me. And wow, what a very different celebration of Independence Day this is for Americans here in 2020. None of us could have imagined the things that have transpired so far this year that have left our poor country ever more divided and American citizens feeling so unsettled. Uncontrolled fear of a pandemic, winds of rioting and looting, public statues and monuments of both national and religious figures being toppled and destroyed, some recent constitutionally unsound decisions made by the U.S. Supreme Court, and what seems to be an all-out attack on history and anything traditional make for very challenging times. Such irrationality and hostility to truth can lead us to wonder just how much longer the U.S. can remain a free country. Signs of socialism and communism are all around us, with polls suggesting that a strong majority of young people support the government running everything. Given the total breakdown of marriage and family life that has come about because of the sexual revolution and the slaughter of tens of millions of unborn children, which has found acceptance even among self-professed Christians, what else can we honestly expect? The very bedrock of a stable, safe, peaceful, and free society has been blasted out from underneath us. It didn't happen overnight. It's actually been a long time in the making. But even before we can talk about a dictatorship or socialist government coming in to take away our freedom, we need to bring up the fact that so many are already enslaved by their own vices and sins. This heavy ball and chain that our country's been carrying around for many decades now, constructed from sins against life and purity, has literally been destroying the nation and our freedom for a while now. We've been blessed with so many material goods and resources, but we haven't moderated our use of them. We've lived to consume instead of consuming to live. We've lived for pleasure and sensuality, and the chickens are coming home to roost. So on a weekend that normally sees huge public gatherings with fireworks and lots of reveling and merrymaking, we've been given some unsolicited help in the form of the coronavirus and recent societal upheavals to curb the celebratory nature of this holiday and a chance to do some serious soul searching. Given everything that's been going on in our country, it seems fitting that this 4th of July remembrance should be one focused on humble repentance and fervent prayer. So let's pray together right now for our country. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Heavenly Father, giver of life, we entrust our nation to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your Holy Spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will. Through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land, grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new culture of life and purity. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. The Diocese of Albany, New York, lost a battle in court this week when a state appeals court upheld a ruling requiring that health insurance policies in the Empire State cover so-called medically necessary abortions. The diocese had argued that the abortion mandate is unconstitutional because it violates religious freedom, free speech, freedom of expression, and the Equal Protection Clause. The appellate court, however, rejected those arguments. The Diocese of Albany, which called the state regulation morally and religiously offensive, will likely appeal the verdict. And And a number of decisions on important cases dealing with abortion were handed down this past week by the Supreme Court, including a few that centered on the state of Indiana. In perhaps one of the most highly anticipated rulings, the High Court struck down Louisiana's law that required doctors to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. Chief Justice John Roberts disappointed pro-lifers when he sided with the court's liberal judges on that decision. The court also declined certiorari when it refused to hear a case out of Chicago that challenged the city's ban on sidewalk counseling outside of abortion facilities. A similar case out of Pennsylvania was also declined by the court. Certiorari was likewise not granted to Indiana's Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstadt. Attorney General Curtis Hill had appealed the decisions made by lower courts that allowed Whole Women's Health to operate an abortion center in South Bend without a state license. The decision then means that the facility will remain open, continuing to perform abortions without a license. The court did grant a writ of certiorari, however, for two other Indiana abortion cases that involved state law requiring that women seeking abortions be given a chance to view the ultrasound of their unborn baby at least 18 hours prior to an abortion, and another law requiring the notification of parents when a minor seeks a judicial bypass to have an abortion. Both cases were sent back to the Seventh Circuit Court for further consideration, giving the state an opportunity to argue further in support of the rights and health of women and their unborn children. And the Indiana Department of Health just released its induced termination of pregnancy report for 2019. According to the report, 400 fewer unborn children were killed last year in Indiana than in the previous year, a decrease of 5%. The number of women from Monroe County who obtained an abortion, however, was up 4% from 2018 figures. The Bloomington Planned Parenthood itself performed fewer abortions last year than in 2018, with a total of 816 unborn children killed there. In Bloomington, 46% of abortions were committed via the abortion pill, and 54% were surgically executed. Finally, 17 unborn children had their lives abruptly ended at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past Thursday. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand all day long in the intense heat, offering love, hope, and help to the women as they went in and came back out. It is believed that one couple did choose life as she waved and smiled to the advocates, leaving not too long after she had arrived. Please continue to pray for the building up of a culture of life in our community, state, and country this weekend, remembering the words of Pope St. John Paul II that a nation that kills its own children is a nation without hope. And that's your weekly In the News. Jesus said, "If you remain in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if a son frees you, then you will truly be free. Those are our Savior's words in John's Gospel, chapter 8, as he was speaking to the Jews who believed in him. These are very powerful, very important words, because they contain the essence of what it means for a person to be truly free. True liberty comes from one's fidelity to the Word of God, to truth, to following His commandments. Those who reject the Word of God, the truth, and His commandments live in sin and are slaves to it, for they live outside of God. And it's a horrible place to be. Unfortunately, it appears that a large number of souls in our country find themselves in this unhappy place, enslaved to their own passions and fleeting moments of pleasure, many to the point of addiction. How many poor souls have never been taught the meaning of what it truly means to be free, to be in a state of grace, unencumbered by sin. Well, as we celebrate our nation's independence, we should remember how our founding fathers understood well that our liberties are not given to us by any man, but that they come from Almighty God Himself. The Declaration of Independence acknowledged such in those beautiful lines. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Well, we've discussed many times on this show the fact that if we don't have the right to life, then all our other rights are meaningless. In 1973, the highest court of our land set itself up as divine arbiter and made the decision that not every human being has the right to life. The court placed the life of the mother over and above the right to life of her own unborn child. It pitted mother against child. Since then, abortion supporters have tried to throw out those indelible words found in the Declaration of Independence: all men are created equal. Almighty God, in His divine providence, made woman the primary steward for nurturing and caring for human life for the first 9 months of development. He entrusted to woman life. Think about how awesome that is. Think about the grave responsibility that comes with such a gift. And woman is not meant to do this alone. She is given a helper, her own husband, who is called to cherish and protect this incredible gift of fertility that lies within her. He is called to respect this innate treasure by maintaining self-control and by working with his wife in accordance with the laws of God, so that they can both be good and holy stewards of this precious gem bestowed upon them, the handing on of human life. Well, unfortunately, the drumbeat has been on for decades now that women cannot be free unless they are permitted contraception and abortion. They've been taught to view their fertility not as a treasure, but as a burden, as a shackle they must be released from. I want to give you a recent example of how this type of thinking is far advanced, even within some corners of the church. This example doesn't come from within our own country, but it has implications for our land. A global organization called She Decides was founded in 2017, and according to its own website, the movement came together because of the need for an urgent response to U.S. President Donald Trump's reinstatement and dramatic expansion of the global gag rule, known as the Mexico City Policy, in January of 2017. It has received hundreds of millions of dollars in funding from the United Nations Population Fund, the World Health Organization, Planned Parenthood International, and other pro-abortion and pro-contraception groups. The website of She Decides says it was started as a movement to support the rights of girls and women to decide freely and for themselves about their sexual lives, including whether, when, with whom, and how many children they have. Any notion of having a loving and responsible helpmate and husband is totally jettisoned. The concept of woman working with man, a wife working with her husband, must be scratched from the books in order for woman to enjoy complete and true freedom, they insist. In those same lies, words, and slogans that we spoke about last week that had been devised by Dr. Bernard Nathanson and NARAL, the manifesto for this feminist group states, "She has the right to information, to health care, to choose. She is free to feel pleasure, to use contraception, to access abortion safely, to decide." Well, one of the most vocal proponents of this radical abortion group is the president of the Catholic Women's Association in Germany, Maria Flocksbarth. The Catholic Women's Association was originally founded in the early 1900s, according to its website, to deepen the Catholic ideal of womanhood in family, work, and public life. Today, it has joined the bandwagon that proudly waves the banner of contraception and abortion as the primary means for women to obtain their liberation. As the president of the Catholic Women's Association, Flocksbarth has thrown her full support for the She Decides movement, saying that it has sprung up at a very necessary time. The limited access to sexual and reproductive health services and the curtailing of reproductive rights are among the biggest challenges girls and women face today, she recently stated. Propping up its agenda even further, she said, "Her right to decide is a basic human right, and therefore there really can be no question. If we truly want to empower women and girls and enable them to fully take part in social and economic life, we need to start to ensure that they can decide." This, again, coming from a Catholic who is the leader of a Catholic women's group boasting of some 180,000 members in Germany. Obviously, Flocksbarth's statements and beliefs are diametrically opposed to the teachings of Holy Mother Church, but Flocksbarth always doubles down on her position whenever she is confronted with this truth. "For me, looking away is not an option. I am committed to the rights of women to decide," she says. As we pointed out last week, abortion supporters never finish the sentence and leave it at one short word: decide, choose. They do everything to divert people's minds and hearts to what is actually going on here: the intentional and direct killing of an innocent, unborn human being. By the way, this organization supports the killing of unborn children up to the moment of birth. If you remain in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth, the source of our freedom, resides in the word. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John wrote this to establish the divinity of Jesus, that he was the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, eternally begotten of the Father, as his word or knowledge. The Father's knowledge of himself is so perfect that it eternally calls forth another person who is that word, that knowledge. And that word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became incarnate. The word was made flesh to not only make visible the invisible love of God, but also to make visible the truth of who God is. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Remember also what Jesus said to Pilate when he asked Jesus if he was a king in John 18, verse 37. "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." The second person of the Holy Trinity, we could say, is truth incarnate. "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples," Jesus said in John 8:31. How utterly important it is that we remain in the word of God, in his truth, found in both sacred scripture and in the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church. As we contemplate and ruminate on the word, the source of truth and of our freedom, we can easily see how the enemy of the word, the anti-word, attacks truth by devising ways to distort words, to invert the meanings of words, to turn everything on its head. And this is the exact situation that we find ourselves in today. The anti-word is truly trying to rule the day. At the risk of sounding a bit unpatriotic as we celebrate the anniversary of our independence from England, I'd like to turn to a passage from a book by the English writer Lewis Carroll. It's from the storybook Through the Looking Glass, the sequel to his Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Now, in the sequel, Alice enters into another fantastical world as she climbs through a mirror and crosses the threshold into a realm where everything is reversed, including logic. In chapter 6, she runs into Humpty Dumpty, sitting, of course, upon a high wall. The conversation that ensues between the two is hilarious and nonsensical, a delight for any young child and even many adults to read. Though the entire dialogue between Alice and Humpty Dumpty is basically a philosophical discussion on language and the meaning of words, there is one particular exchange between the two that really hits home for us today, and that scene is this. "I don't know what you mean by glory," Alice said. Humpty Dumpty smiled contemptuously. "Of course you don't, till I tell you. I meant there's a nice knockdown argument for you." "But glory doesn't mean a nice knockdown argument," Alice objected. "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said in a rather scornful tone, "it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less." "The question is," said Alice, "whether you can make words mean different things, that's all." "The question is," said Humpty Dumpty, "which is to be master, that's all." Carroll no doubt composed this little colloquy to bring up the issue of control over the meaning of words. And boy, isn't this a pressing matter for our own times when we've got an intense power struggle going on in regards to who has the control over the meaning of words. There is so much abuse and distortion of the meaning of words in our world today. For many of us, we feel like Alice, like we've stepped through the looking glass and into an alternative, crazy, upside-down world. Think of the way some words like choice, marriage, family, gender, healthcare, art, freedom are used today, and how their true meanings have been completely sabotaged. One of the most decisive moves to change the meaning of a word came back in 1965. It was accomplished by the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, or ACOG for short, when they decided to up and change the meaning of the word pregnant. Now, prior to 1965, every medical textbook said that life began at the moment of fertilization, and they used the word fertilization and conception interchangeably. Now, when the FDA approved the use of the birth control pill, ACOG and others were very concerned that many women would be reluctant to use it or doctors prescribe it, because should ovulation end up occurring in a cycle, the pill's backup mechanism was to prevent the newly conceived life from implanting into the walls of the uterus. In other words, the pill was an abortifacient, an early abortion. And many Americans at this time were still squeamish on abortion. So ACOG pulled a Humpty Dumpty and basically said, pregnancy means just what we choose it to mean. They changed the definition of pregnancy and when life begins to the moment of implantation. Then, in less than a decade, the meaning of the word life was radically altered in the 1973 case Roe v. Wade. Here, the majority of the Supreme Court justices chose to completely ignore science and basic common sense on the question of when life begins. The spirit of the anti-word was thus firmly planted in the judicial system of our country. Fast forward another couple of decades to 1992, when another abortion case, this time Planned Parenthood versus Casey, found its way to the High Court. The gist of this litigation involved a Pennsylvania bill called the Abortion Control Act, which, through its various provisions, was trying to apply some regulation to abortion within the state. For example, a mandatory 24-hour waiting period was required, and minors could only seek abortions with parental consent. Well, if brevity is the soul of wit, the High Court failed miserably with its lengthy, multi-part decision. It decided, not surprisingly, to uphold legalize abortion and Roe v. Wade, but it was a sentence from Justice Anthony Kennedy's majority opinion that produced one of the most notorious and mystifying remarks of all. He said, "At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life." Well, we stepped through the looking glass there. What does that even mean, except for existence, the universe, and life mean precisely what I, as an individual, choose them to mean for me? That, according to Kennedy, is the ticket to freedom. Of course, any sane and rational person will quickly note how this type of thinking is the very foundation of a dictatorship of relativism, as Benedict XVI was wont to call it, and how it will only lead to the road of chaos. In 1992, the Supreme Court gave its stamp of approval for how each individual must be able to decide for him or herself what words like family, life, and marriage mean. Otherwise, a person is not free, they say. Let's move forward another decade or so to 2003 and the landmark case of Lawrence versus Texas, when the Supreme Court ruled that state laws criminalizing sodomy were unconstitutional. Now, the groundwork had already been laid by Roe v. Wade and Casey for the reversal of such laws, not only by the concept of a right to privacy that the court had supposedly found in the U.S. Constitution, but most especially because of the targeted and intentional distortion of the meanings of words. Writing his majority opinion in support of homosexual rights, Justice Kennedy hearkened back to that ridiculous and nebulous passage that he had composed 10 years earlier in support of the killing of the unborn. He wrote, "In Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the court reaffirmed the substantive force of the liberty protected by the Due Process Clause. The Casey decision again confirmed that our laws and tradition afford constitutional protection to personal decisions relating to marriage, procreation, contraception, family relationships, child rearing, and education. In explaining the respect the Constitution demands for the autonomy of the person in making these choices, we state it as follows. These matters, involving the most intimate and personal choices a person may make in a lifetime, choices central to personal dignity and autonomy, are central to the liberty protected by the 14th Amendment. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. Once again, Kennedy's words flew in the face of what the Word said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Having now changed the meaning of the word life and then the meaning of natural sexual relations, the race was on to now change what the multi-millennial word marriage meant. Continuing along on their same illogical path and intellectual hubris, the High Court had the opportunity to do just that with the aid, again, of Justice Kennedy on June 26, 2015, when it ruled that same-sex couples have the fundamental right to marry under that same due process clause and the equal protection clause of the 14th Amendment. Instead of referring to a union between a man and a woman as marriage had always meant since the dawn of time, marriage was redefined by five judges in black robes to mean a legally or formally recognized union between two people, including those of the same sex. The case was Obergefell versus Hodges, and in one fell swoop, marriage became yet another victim to the prevailing winds on that stormy, irrational sea that cries, "A word means what I choose it to mean, neither more or less." Incidentally, in case you didn't know or haven't guessed, Justice Anthony Kennedy was a lifelong Catholic and received his education from Catholic institutions. He was also appointed by the conservative president, Ronald Reagan. Though he no longer serves on the bench, the harm that he has done to our country is incalculable. Pray much for Anthony Kennedy, since he is older and daily grows closer to the day when he will stand before the throne of God and is shown the effect that his words and decisions have had upon the eternal destiny of many souls. There was one more attribute that needed to be redefined in order to complete the diabolical and total makeover of what it means to be human, and that word was sex. The Word of God, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." A couple of weeks ago on June 15th, six Supreme Court justices, including a couple of whom were supposed to be conservative thinkers, took their turn at playing Humpty Dumpty and decided that they could choose what they wanted the word sex to mean. Just as was done in Roe v. Wade, all biological and scientific facts were discarded in order to advance the idea that a person can choose whatever sex he wants to be on any given day, and others must go along with it. Buzzwords like sexual orientation and gender identity were written into the justices' opinions, which will one day leave a more sane generation shaking their heads, wondering what kind of psychological ailment that the people of our time was suffering. One commentator remarked, "People who illegitimately believe that God created us male and female are going to face increased efforts to be silenced, marginalized, and penalized for any dissent on this issue." Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Psalm 146 says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal man who cannot save." There is no purely natural way out of this mess we find ourselves in, and human efforts alone will not be able to put these tiny shattered pieces back together again. We must turn to the Word himself and to the Mother of the Word incarnate. Back in 1987, Mother Angelica, inspired by Almighty God, founded the Eternal Word Television Network in order to communicate the truth and beauty of the Catholic faith both through word and example. Today, the Word of Truth is broadcasted around the world through TV, radio, and the internet. It is so vital that the Word continues to go out everywhere in order to combat the anti-Word, the Antichrist. How blessed we are to have been given EWTN and this local Catholic radio station. Let's keep it going through our prayers, sacrifices, and financial contributions. A battle is raging for the soul of our country. Who will we choose to be the master of our nation? The Word or the anti-word. Please pray much for the U.S. and for our leaders this weekend. And let's never be afraid to be that prophetic voice of the word by heralding peace, justice, truth, and love to all we meet. Thanks for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.